EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Leadership Podcast is a production of EMSradio.com. You can interact with us via email, emsleadership@gmail.com, or call us 303-720-6001.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the EMS Leadership Podcast. And now here's your host, Chris Ceballero.
Pause. Well, happy new year, everyone, and welcome to the first show of 2015 of EMS Leadership. I'm your host, Chris Ceballero, and I'm really excited to be with you. It's been a bit since we had the opportunity to come and chat. You know, it's been since the last time we went to EMS Expo and did our year-end show. Well, now it's the beginning of the year show, and we're really excited. You know, one of the things that I think is important, as we start a new year, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, preparing for, you know, the year end and closing out the books and how did the year work out. And then we just kind of move into the next year. You know, we handle all the, you know, the issues that come up with the schedule. We handle all the things that come up with the employees. We help our employees get to the next level. But what are we really doing for ourselves? What are we really doing for our professional and personal development as we move into 2015? You know, the reason that we're on this kick is I had a friend of mine say, you know, where did 2014 go? Well, you know, if you had goals set for yourself and you had milestones to hit and you had professional development that you planned to do throughout the year, you know exactly where 2014 went. So I think it would be really good to kind of talk about your professional development or personal development and personal goals as we go into 2015. But before we do that, let's go ahead and bring in the guests. And of course, with us always is our good friend Don Lundy. Don, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. And again, thanks for letting me be on the show. You know, we were talking before the show started. This is the fifth year, and when you talk about where does the time go, it's just been an awesome time. I'm just honored every time you ask me to come on.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this topic tonight. And we'll go a little bit to the wherever the heck he is, north. And Rob Lawrence, how are you, sir?
Chris, good evening, and of course, Happy New Year, everybody. And it's really great to be back broadcasting again in 2015.
It's good to have the international correspondent back with us with another contract year, so we appreciate you being here, Rob. And of course, last but not least, the golden boy from California, Patrick Pianezza. Patrick, welcome to the show.
I'm a little disappointed that there's no applause setting when you announce my name. No, it's great to be here. I'm really excited. Thanks again. I think this marks my third year on this show, which is pretty incredible. And I just want to say it's an absolute pleasure and delight, and happy holidays to everybody who's listening. It's been a great ride.
So, you know, as we think about the beginning of the year, I mean, there's so many hopes, right? Everybody says, you know, 2015 has got to be better than 2014. And, you know, how do we make it better? And I'm waiting for the year to end so I could start a new year, you know, but it seems like as we start, we get into the same ruts and we get into the same challenges and we jump the same hurdles. And really, when do we take time for ourselves, for our professional development, for our personal development, and what do we plan to do that? And first off, I think the question that I want to throw out to the group first, and Don, maybe we could start with you, is, you know, as we start to think about our role as a leader, and as we develop our employees, what do you think is the biggest reason that we forget ourselves?
I think we keep the I care and I want to care about people and I want to take care of people. I think we still hold that very close to us. So we care about the people that work with us, and we care about their development. We're always trying to look for ways to help them. And like any good paramedic who takes care of their patient, they kind of put themselves second and put the patient first. We oftentimes don't drop that that culture that we have. When we become leaders, and we end up shorting ourselves through so many different ways. I was really blessed at a very young age to have a leader that I was under talk about challenging yourself once a year to something. And it was so strange to me. What are you talking about? And they went ahead and said, how about you and your wife have always wanted to fly. Why don't you go learn to fly? And I just kind of laughed and said, well, that's expensive and you got to have a plane. And I started there. And he goes, you know, all I hear is a bunch of excuses. He says, 5 years from now, you'll either be a pilot or you'll be 5 years older. And I've always remembered that, so that every year there is a primary goal I've had and then a couple of smaller goals that I want to try to do. And I've never been one to say, oh, next year's got to be better than this year. Now, I say that with the exception of this past year. And I think most of everybody that listens probably knows in my 62 years of life, last year was about the most challenging year I've ever had, mostly due to the fact that I had a heart attack towards the end of last year, and it rolled over to 2014. I had two major accidents. My wife was involved in an accident. We had a lightning strike in the house, and she broke her wrist 2 months before the end of the year. So I will say that I have never said, oh, it's got to be better this year, except for this year. I will have to say we've broken the record, the Lundy record, on how many doctors we can see in 1 year, and we're looking forward to 2015. But even in that sense, becoming president of NEMT was a goal I had. I did become a private pilot. We ended up buying a plane. That was the wackiest goal I think that we had. And professionally, of course, all the things that we like doing, I think we just forget because we're supposed to take care of people, and we put ourselves on the squad bench because that's what we do when we take care of patients. And we forget that when we're leaders, we don't have a group of people sometimes that are ready to cheer us on. And sometimes we need to remember that it is about the patient, but you've got people to do that. Now it's kind of about you and your development in some respect.
And I think that one of the things that is really important is, you know, balancing those life and those professional goals out. You know, you talked about all the challenges that you had in 2014 with the house and the wife and, you know, your health. And, you know, it's just things that could affect, you know, the plan that you have. If your plan was to go to college and finish a master's degree or get a PhD or even your bachelor's degree, and you know, the things that happen in your life that happen in Don's, you know, that derails those things. Well, at least you have a path that you were going to go on. So, Rob, let me ask you the same question. I'm interested in your thought of when we, why do we kind of neglect our own professional development as we spend so much time developing others?
Well, I think, first of all, because in EMS, there is certainly never nothing to do. You know, with 168 hours a week, we, like the police, you know, our colleagues, don't stop. We're on the go all the time. And whilst, you know, we, the managers, you know, do get to go home at the end of the working day, and there's a whole new show in How Long Is the Working Day, but, you know, sometimes perhaps we just don't switch off. We don't switch off the job because it's a very important job, saving lives, being the leader of an organization that is entrusted to do that means that our mind is sometimes always on the job. And perhaps, you know, one needs to take a little bit of time to think about, you know, well, what can I do to either decompress and of course, or to develop. And so, you know, but we have to make sure that our performance umbrella is up on the work front, I suspect. But then we need to, you know, to start to think about how we can improve our own lot and how we can then develop. And I think we were saying that maybe it was Don that was saying just now that, you know, if we're not developing, then our workforce and our immediate subordinates aren't developing. Now, I also maintain that every day I learn something and I try and pass that piece of learning on, whether it's a good or bad piece of learning. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, sometimes as a leader, you need to, as you said, set that goal, make an objective, and, you know, go out and develop yourself, whether it's actually reading a book and learning something, taking a class, or having that lifelong objective that you want to achieve. And I certainly have come up with one of those this year, just to think of one off the top of my head. As you know, I love to write and to publish, and, you know, I think I've got a book in me, and this year I'm going to make a damn good effort to see if I can produce one.
That's awesome, man. Will you make a character out of me? I mean, well, I'm a character already, but can I be a character in the book?
Well, I'm actually wondering who's going to play you in the movie, and perhaps the good listeners can
answer that. Well, Patrick Pianezza, who else would play me? So, but let's go ahead and switch roles a little bit, Patrick, and I want to talk about, so we're talking about, we know that we need to do it, and we know the reasons that we're not doing it. So as we now sit down, how do we come to grips, or how do we come to a plan of thinking of how do we even set goals, or how do we figure out if we need anything? You know, there's a lot of leaders out there who are thinking, you know, I don't need to develop. I got good communication skills. I'm good with my employees. But how do we go about recognizing our challenges and plan for our next step of making goals?
Well, I think the biggest hurdle whenever we're talking to leaders, especially of large organizations, is understanding that it's okay to make this a priority. And oftentimes that's what I see with organizations that have leaders that are so devoted to their organization, their mission, their vision, is this understanding, like Don and Rob said, about, you know, our job is to take care of our people and take care of our patients. And that's what we do day in and day out. And my answer to that is reassuring the leaders that making yourself a better leader and making yourself available for education and training for leadership principles is incredibly useful and mandatory. Your job has now focused from taking care of patients to taking care of your people. And you can't do that if you're not willing to better yourself. And if you're not sure where those issues might be, you know, there's always the 360-degree evaluations. There's lots of different assessments out there to help point out where you might be able to use a little work. And I will say that with the same trepidation as saying, it's easy to see what's wrong, and I'm a big advocate of focusing on what you do well. What are your strengths, and enhance those while also trying to get your better your weaknesses. And I've seen lots of organizations that make personal development part of their annual evaluation, where you sit down with your boss or your board and they ask you these questions, like to Don's point, you know, did you become a pilot? And if your answer is no, well, then you lose some points during your annual evaluation. But my biggest advice to those people that are listening, especially those that are leaders, knowing full well that it's going to take time, money, and resources away from your quote day-to-day operations, realize that that money is well invested as long as you yourself are becoming a better leader, because ultimately that is now your job. And so to focus on your personal development, as long as it's not all-encompassing, is a worthwhile journey and something that you need to consider.
Don, let me go ahead and jump to you then. I think Patrick brought up a couple good points. You know, he talked about the 360-degree evaluation. You know, he talked about not only developing your weaknesses, but also maybe, you know, just because you're a great communicator doesn't mean you can't get better at communication. So, but I want to ask you specifically, how important is it to get feedback from your leadership team, to get feedback from your workforce, to get feedback from your peers, and something that we don't really do to say, how can I be a better leader for you? I mean, does that have any importance in this process?
I think it does. I think whenever, and not only it has an important part of the process, but I think it's important as a leader to be able to stand up and ask that question. You know, I think I've said it before in the show, when we talk about data, don't ask the question unless you want the answer. This is a question that you really need to be, have the ability, you need to be solid in your leadership foundation, and you need to know that you don't know everything. You need to have that ability to look somebody in the eye and say, so what can I do to better lead you? What do you guys think I need? And let them tell you. Also, to have some mentors in your life that you can go to and say, hey, I'm looking for some growth. I'm looking for something that I can do a little bit different. What do you think? And I think you'll be terribly surprised, I mean greatly surprised, when you hear from some mentors that are with you. They're going to throw a curveball that you never even thought about. And I would caution in a good way, leaders that when they say, well, what do you think I ought to do? Or you start thinking about something that you want to do to grow yourself a little bit, and the idea that you come up with is really uncomfortable, that's probably right where you need to be. And if you come up with an idea and you go, oh, that'll be easy, well, easy's for the birds. Anybody can do stuff that's easy. It has to take you outside your comfort zone. It has to stretch you a little bit to the point that you might feel uncomfortable for a bit as you started. And that's all the part of being the leaders that we are. We all started jobs somewhere, and we all know what that first day was like. Everybody came in and kissed the ring, and you didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know where the light switches were. They came in with a form, and you didn't know what it was. The secretary introduced herself 9 times. She still forgot her name. I mean, we all know what the starting of something uncomfortable is. Well, when you decide to develop, whether it's your leadership skills or develop your life, and I really am on the side of developing your life, because I think we develop leadership skills naturally through classes that we take. At least I hope most of us do. But I think we forget about that balance that you talked about, Chris, about realizing what. And I'm going to use a metaphor that my wife, she's a kindergarten teacher, has. When she teaches the 4-year-olds, and during the summer, they're walking through the grocery store and they see her in the store, they just have this wide-eyed look because they can't believe she left the school. Those children think Barbara lives in the school. She lives and eats, and they bring her food, and she's a human, and she's out here in the grocery store. And you can look at their face, and they realize, wow, you know, she's got a whole nother side of her. I think it helps your employees that when you go to them and say, I'm going to learn how to ski this weekend. I've never water skied before. I'm going to go learn to water ski. I think a lot of them might say, oh, I know how to do that. There's nothing to it. But in the same light, they're going to look and say, man, Lundy's 60 years old, and he's going to go on the water ski. And yeah, that's some guts. Or, and personally, I can tell you, at the age of 41, going back to school to get my bachelor's degree, somebody told me that it wouldn't make me a better paramedic. And I said, well, why do you think that's what I want to do? And he said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to get a bachelor's degree. I've wanted one for a long time. I know if I'm going to advance, I'm going to have to. And at the end of 5 years, I'll have a bachelor's degree, and you'll be 5 years older.
Right.
And I think that stretch in your leadership, you have to be able to stretch to a place where it might not be comfortable to get that leadership style and that leadership growth.
Yeah, I think that's really good points. And you talk about those stretch goals, and you need to be able to tell yourself that it's just outside your reach, and it gives you that motivation to do that. So, Rob, let me go ahead and jump to you and ask you the question. You know, maybe you can share your own process, or if you know of a process that you use, is when you sit down and you try to set goals, whether it's for the organization, whether it's for yourself, how does a person go about doing that? I mean, how do they determine a goal, and how do they set a goal?
Well, first of all, it comes back down to an estimate of where either you or the organization wants to go to. Where do you want to, you know, it's almost the classic interview question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? And it's always one of those sort of navel-gazing moments where you go, well, actually, I see myself sitting in your chair, sir. So that in itself becomes a goal. So having a firm grip of organizational ambitions, first of all, will then enable you to shape and actually answer that interview question of where do you see yourself in 5 years' time. So that's certainly one thing of, you know, trying to look at the future and then invest in the future by preparing yourself from a goal objective, whether it's you know, being a husband and father, or whether it's being the chief operating officer. You know, there's a certain amount of forward-looking strategizing and plan development that you need to do, and then of course that can then be, you know, broken down into subparts, which is, you know, this year I'm going to, you know, watch Don learn to fly his plane. I'm going to, you know, write a book. I'm going to, you know, develop myself in those ways. But I want to come back to something that Don said, actually, and mentors, either being a mentor or being mentored, I think is an absolutely key and critical activity. We've just started off what we call RALA, the Richmond Elements Authority Leadership Academy. And it's a 12-month program. Every month we have either a guest speaker or we have a guest topic. And we've just started this year's Leadership Academy. And we've appointed mentors. And the mentor is, you know, someone that's either a peer or someone that's slightly senior to you, but can actually guide you through the organization, can guide you through the program, and you know, and actually we've even set money aside so you can take your mentee out for a meal somewhere in order to get to know them better and in order to help them be the best that they can be. And I think that's actually a really key part of development, and of course encouraging someone to better themselves, which in turn helps the organization grow and get better as well.
Yeah, I like that. And I think you hit some really good points. And that's really awesome that your organization has that, you know, has that mentor program. And I think we forget the importance of that mentor. You know, one of the things you talked about, where do you see yourself in 5 years? When I talk to people and I ask them, you know, a similar question, I hold up a CD-ROM and I say, or a DVD, and I say, this is your DVD. At the end of the year, what do you want on it? What do you want to watch? And, you know, that really kind of spurs and gives people a lot of thought to say that's a really interesting question. But so, Patrick, let me ask you, you know, as we start to set these goals, I mean, how long does it take? I mean, do we just say by the end of the year we want all these things completed, or is there importance of, you know, having, you know, time frames and maybe short term and long term? Or how do we determine, you know, the best course of time to reach all these things we want to do?
Well, there's a couple of different methodologies. I mean, most of us have heard of SMART goals, which are it's an acronym as far as how to set goals. And then there's I think Jim Collins, he wrote something called BAGS, Big Hairy Goal, Big Hairy BAGS, Big Hairy Gaudy Goals. And it's something like, you know, crazy things like, I want to be a pilot. I know we keep kind of teasing Don about that, but I mean, it's those kind of crazy things that you want to be able to do. And timelines are incredibly important for these types of things. Like, you have to set a true goal, you have to be able to measure it, you have to be able to figure out what it is, you have to be able to define it, and you have to be able to put a timeline on it. So to be able to say, some goals are a 1 year goal, some goals are multi-years. I mean, if you have any type of business plan for your organization, which you have to have, you know, whether it's 20% growth by 2020, whatever that is, there are goals that take multiple years, that take the ability to modify over time. So the ability to set goals is not new. And there's, like I said, there's multiple methodologies. There's the SMART goals, there's the BAGS. But it's a mix of the two. And part of that is that secret sauce. You don't want to get yourself over your head by setting 20 goals. But I say a good set is about 3 to 5 for annual goals. And then I would jump to maybe 8 for, you know, 2 to 3 year planning out, looking out into the future. So I think those are that's the methodology, if you will, or that's where to look. That's where I've always started. I always try to set somewhere between 3 or 5 goals to look at annually. And then as I look 3 years out, I try to get at least 8 on paper. And so then I can, like we've been saying, hold a mirror up to myself and say, okay, so here's where I'm at. Here's what I didn't get done. Why didn't I get it done? And how can I get better, basically?
I'll add something into that, actually, because, you know, whether we call them goals or whether we call them tasks, you know, when you're given a task or a goal, and as Patrick said, actually, it's a prime example. Now, he's got 3 or 4 primary tasks to achieve in the year. Well, those tasks are tasks that he has specified he's going to do. So I'm going to do A, B, C, and D. But beyond those tasks, then are implied tasks. Coming back to Don, Don wants to learn to fly. That's a specified task. But implied in that is he needs to go to ground school. He needs to go to find a flight school and an instructor. So there is a number of subtasks or sub-aims and objectives that you need to set. So rather than set yourself a million goals in the year, you set yourself a number of tasks, and then you will find that that's what you are specifying that you're going to do. There's also then implied tasks that come out of that, which are the sort of enabling actions that you have to do. So all of a sudden, there's lots to do, but only with a few things, as Patrick said, in a specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely fashion, that you have to achieve them. So, you know, set yourself a few goals, but actually you'll find there's lots more to do than just, you know, pursuing that the single line item aim as well. So, you know, just sort of thinking on about the tasks and how you divide the task or the achievement up and going about, you know, being successful.
You know, that's very true, Rob. And there were some other things that we were, that I was trying to accomplish. One, that I felt pilots really had a great command of the area that they are. They really had the whole idea of time management and planning ahead, and math was involved, and it was all that. But I think sometimes we make it more difficult than it needs to be. Sometimes somebody listening to the show says, you know, I just need a good, I'm lousy at time management. Well, there are 100 different classes. This can be as easy as taking a time management class. It can be as easy as going down and learning to cook. It can be as easy as going down and auditioning for a play. Now, you know, one of my goals was I wanted to be on the stage. I wanted to be on a play. And I went down and auditioned, and I was lousy. I didn't know what I was doing. But I learned a heck of a lot and had great fun with it. So it can be something as easy as that in their career. If they say, I want to learn how to, we talked about communication skills a lot. I want to learn how to communicate better. Well, what is the number one thing in our business that with exception of patient care that we communicate all the time? It's teaching. So go become a CPR instructor. Well, I can't speak in front of 100 people. Sure you can. You do it every day. This isn't speaking in front of 20 people that are going to push and blow. Go learn to be a CPR instructor. I love to teach. I love to instruct. And I think all you guys are in that same bucket, and many of the leaders are, because they, you know, love when you see the light come on. And that's a great way to learn communication skills and 5 or 6 other skills you didn't even know you needed to learn. So it can be something as easy as pointing to one thing and say, well, this year I'm going to do time management, or this year I've got to learn to cook, or and whatever it's going to be. It can be something that easy just to say, I'm going to try that. I would tell anybody that does this, one of these goals, and probably more, you're going to fail at. Failing is okay. In fact, failing is good. That sounds really strange. You don't learn much when you do it right all the time, but you learn a heck of a lot when you fail. Yeah. And when we were kids, we fell off the bike and we got up and didn't even bruise us. But as adults, sometimes we're ashamed that we fail. I watched one of my own medics who failed that motorcycle school. He rode a motorcycle and he couldn't make it through the class. He held his head up high and trained for a year and came back there and just smoked everybody. I was so proud of him.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you said, you bring up a really good point, Don, is that failing isn't falling down. Failing is not getting up. And, you know, part of the process of success is learning from those lessons. And I really liked how you put that. So, Rob, let me go ahead and ask you this question. Now that we've got the goals going, you know, they say that January 11th is National Quit Day. And it seems that people who have resolutions, January 11th is the drop-off day that those resolutions go. And
really?
Now that we have those, now that we have those goals, and now that we have our time frame, and now that we have, you know, kind of a plan of what we want to do, how do we keep ourselves motivated to do it? How do we stay on this path? How do we stay on this plan so when we get to the end of 2015, we've achieved the things that we think we need to do?
Well, actually, I'm a great fan of lists, and every week I reset. And whilst I have iPads and computers and everything else, if you talk to my team, I also have the ubiquitous notebook, or as they now laughingly call it, the N-pad. And I'm a great fan of actually reordering almost my sort of cosmic order of things to do and aims and objectives. Actually, on a Sunday night, I sit down and I reorder my priorities, whether it's actually work or indeed, you know, the sort of the home things to do. And so by doing that, it actually means that I'm, you know, reviewing, I'm assessing, I'm working, checking and balancing on a weekly basis. And it's a bit of a discipline to do that, but it's actually the one thing that I do in my notebook, because then that helps me sort of, and also I check things off as I do them. And it's almost some sort of, uplifting. I get a great piece of uplifting pleasure taking a highlighter and striking through something, whether it's a sort of weekly aim or whether it's a monthly aim or whether it's a project that we finished or a project that we're doing, actually striking that through and going, yep, that's done. That's another thing. And then, of course, I think you can then go back and go, well, actually, look at that. We did this. We've done that. We've done the other, because we're so performance oriented and focused. Sometimes we don't stop and go, actually, look what we have done. And look at those things we've achieved already, just tackling one thing at a time, or by, you know, getting the team on it, or, you know, as an individual aim and objective. And so, you know, my list and my updated list and my, you know, to-do list or whatever, you know, even a honey-do list, dare I say, that helps me along no end, because I'm constantly reviewing, and so I'm not forgetting what it is that I need to do.
I think that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Unfortunately for me, I make great lists, Rob. I really do. They're all over there in the corner when I leave the house, and still sitting there when I get to where I'm going and somebody says, you bring the list. Everybody has a, and I think it's important everybody hear that. Everybody has a different way, and that's a cool way to do it. And that's how my wife does a lot of her goals. I am, as many of you know, music oriented. And I'll tell you a story. For the last 4 years, I have been going to the gym 3 or 4 mornings a week for a good hour of cardio. How could I do that? Well, I have music that I've made, a favorite music of mine, get up and go music that I have in a little carrier. I can go to the gym, and if I don't have my music, you might as well set me on fire. I'm just not interested. I just forget it. I just want to roll over and lie down on the floor. The music drives me and keeps me focused on the next action. I mean, I can't explain that, except that music does drive me, and different music drives me, you know, for different things. So some of the projects that we have reminds me of music that I've either sang or played or heard, and that's how I'm motivated, is through music. So everybody has a different thing. When I went through college at 41, I was the old guy in class, and I was very depressed because I'm old and these kids are getting it real sharp and they're just so smart and I'm just so dumb. And yet I had college music that kept me uplifted and said, you know, see the hoop, jump through the hoop, next tube. So Rob's right. Sometimes it's lists, sometimes it's music, sometimes it's self-control. And that's probably our hardest thing, to have self-control to keep focused. And I think, Chris, you brought something up. You know, the reason people make New Year's wishes and they don't come true is because they're unrealistic and nobody was really interested in the first place. You've got to have the passion of whatever you're going to do, even when it's uncomfortable. But you'll get it done. You know, it's just, you need to, like you said, you need to get back up and do it.
So I guess we should think about closing thoughts as we start to get up there in time. And Patrick, let me go ahead and start with you first. If you're going to leave the audience with some closing thoughts, what do you hit them with?
You know, I think the first thing is make this a priority for your career, and not just for your career in a selfish way, but your employees, your staff, your community are looking to you to be the best leader that you can be. That's why you're the chief or the assistant chief or whatever your job title is, even if it's paramedic. If you're looking to grow, this has to be a priority for you. And if you have questions, reach out to mentors, find an assessment. There's plenty of them out there, and there's lots of different resources for you to be able to advocate, or I'm sorry, not advocate, but to access and utilize. So realizing that this is a priority, and set something meaningful down, put a timeline to it. So that way in 6, 12 months, 2 years, somebody could come up to you and hold that piece of paper up and basically be your mirror and say, hey, did you do this? This is what you said you wanted to do, and I just want to check in with you. And that's really, I think, the best advice I have for people is, you know, thoughts are great, but you only get points for what you get accomplished. And that's one of those big things I took away from Studer Group is you don't get points for trying. And it's not meant to be derogatory or mean or condescending. It's the reality is we are based every day on what we get accomplished. And that goes for the clinical realm. You know, if you come into the ER with somebody who's got a, you know, pulse ox of 75, the doctor doesn't pat you on the back and say, well, you tried. It's, you know, what was the condition after the call? And that's something that we could take into leadership. You know, thoughts are great. You know, New Year's resolutions are a great thing. But it's what you get done in the by the time the year was over that really tells people what you were trying to do.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point. One of the things that I want to just throw in on top of your closing thought is a lot of times I'll share my goals with my mentor, with my wife, and she'll hold me accountable, and they'll hold me accountable to my goals as well. You know, where are you at in this three-month goal? You know, you've only got 30 days left kind of thing, and it really gives you a little bit of accountability. So, Patrick, did you set a goal for yourself this year?
I did.
You want to share with the group?
I'd love to. Yeah. One of my big goals is to actually get my fellow in the American College of Healthcare Executives.
Oh, awesome.
It's a credential that would mean a lot to me. And it's a matter of making sure I qualify and taking there's a big exam in order to get it. Right. But that's one of those goals I set for myself.
That is an awesome one. And it's a long process. So, I mean, I've looked at it myself and I think that that's a really awesome stretch goal. So Rob, let me go ahead and jump to you and share your closing thought with everyone.
I think it's been an excellent show, Chris, and I think it's been an opportunity really just to, you know, come up with some great ideas. Again, I love working with you guys on the panel because, of course, between us, we are able to come up with some working solutions and some great ideas. And so, you know, everything that we've heard tonight, someone will take something away. So please, you know, take it away, whether it's go and find yourself a mentor, whether it's take a class, whether it's learn to fly. I think there's been some great ideas coming out tonight, and you know, I commend what we've just done, as it's been a great opening show, but also there's some top tips in there for everybody, and someone out there will find something that we've said tonight and make it exceptionally useful for the next 365 days.
How about you, Rob? Did you set a goal for yourself for this year?
Personally, I want to fit into the suit I left the army in, and that's a big challenge for me, so that's going to be my goal for this year.
That's awesome, man. That's a good one.
Yes.
Keep us posted on that. Once you get that on, man, we want a picture.
If you don't see me at EMS World Expo, it's because actually I'm now fitting in the suit I left the army in. Yeah, just to add one final postscript, Chris. As leaders, of course, we dread certain texts and messages coming through, and we have a high alert incident system that is generated by our CAD system that tells us if there's a cardiac arrest, if there's, you know, A3 alarm fire or something. And the one that you don't want to see ever is the thing that happened to us last Friday, which was Officer Down. And I just want to send all of our thoughts, please, to Officer Bill Turner of the Richmond Police Department. He was responding to a mental health crisis, and you know, there's probably a show in that as well. Bill was engaged by the guy. There was an exchange of gunfire. Both of them were hit. Bill remains currently in intensive care at Virginia Commonwealth University Hospital. And as I say, it's the one thing we dread seeing. The public safety community of certainly Central Virginia, Richmond in particular, are all offering their thoughts and prayers for Bill. And I would like to, you know, just give him a shout out, and you know, and our colleagues in the police department. And we hope that he makes a recovery. But at the moment, it's in intensive care, and so we're praying for him.
Yeah, well, prayers and best wishes to his family, right? And of course to our brother, and hopefully he gets well soon. So
thank you.
Your closing thoughts. What do you leave the audience with?
I think no matter what, people need to keep balance in their life. And I know that we've talked about the professional development within your entity, within your job, whatever it might be. But I think also you need to remember the balance also involves your family, your friends, your kids, that somewhere you can't be that teacher that the kids think never leave the school. Your employees, believe it or not, when you do something, they watch it, they take notes, they want to be like you, they want your job. That's a good thing. When they see you coming out of the gym at 6 a.m. in the morning, they go, yeah, I didn't know you did that. Yeah, I've been going. And all of a sudden, three or four employees are going to the gym, whether it's yours or another one. They watch what you do, whether it is as a result of the professional development you do on your job or something that you do for your family or whatever. So always remember that you're in that spotlight, and you need that balance. You need to be able to turn off your cell phone, and you need to develop yourself both personally and professionally.
And how about you, Don? Do you have a goal that you put out for this year?
Well, I do, and I have two because of everything that happened last year. One's not very exciting or sexy, but it's something that I want to do. I'm going to do a simple scuba dive following my heart attack. That doesn't sound very sexy, but the idea of doing things normally following something like that is really a big deal in your head.
Yeah.
So I believe one of the days before or after Pinnacle, we're gonna grab one of the dive shops, and I've got a friend that's, I think she's committed to coming with us, so that she's underwater as well, and just do a simple 30-foot putzing around the ocean dive. The bigger goal was Rob kind of stole my thunder there. He said he's got a book and he's thinking of doing something. I have completed a manuscript, and a publisher is we're talking. So who knows? It's a book I've been writing for a little while now.
That is fantastic, Tom.
And yeah, we'll have to see if anybody believes any of it.
What's the kind of book is it?
It is a book based upon true stories of my 40 years in EMS, and some of them have to do with calls, and some of them have to do with people that I've met, and partners that have really meant a lot to me, mentors that have meant a lot to me, people who've left way too early, calls that you know all of us have those in us, sure. Calls that you go, I can't believe that, and some calls that really shook my foundation and why. And I'm hoping some of the more professional folks that read that will say, oh gosh, that was like me when that happened. And some of the people that don't know anything about our work will read it and say, man, I didn't know they did that.
Sure. Well, that sounds excellent. We all want signed copies when they come out. So so guys, I think it's about time. Let's go ahead and get to the end of the show. And I think it was a really great show. And I want to thank Don Lundy, Patrick Pianetta, and Rob Lawrence for joining us and sharing their experiences with us. And for everybody out there, a goal is a dream with a deadline. Set your goals, set your deadlines, and by the end of 2015, you're not going to say, where did 2015 go? Because you're going to live 2015, and you're not going to let 2015 live you. Until next time, I'm Chris Sabalero. We'll chat with you again real soon.